Glad to be here tonight, amen. But to be honest with you, I'd rather be at home in bed. Just thought I'd tell the truth. And I'd like telling the truth in church, amen. How you are, Brother Mike? Lousy. How you are? Uh-oh. See, Linda does that like my mother used to, sitting in here. My mother would go, That was always, man, I'm in trouble. Bless you, Linda. Let's take a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to switch gears a little bit tonight. Not going to be the wife anymore. We're going to be the husband. Yes? Huh? Yes, and we're going to have prayer when I'm done. So, yeah. If you want to do it now, go ahead. Okay. I don't blame you. Nervousness. Amen. Nervousness is not a sign of weakness or lack of faith. Okay. It's what bolsters the faith. It's what gives it something to deal with, something to take care of, okay? You put your trust in God, and maybe I'll preach on this sometime, what resolve is, okay? And I learned this years ago. Resolve is you put yourself in God's hands, and you don't care what He does, okay? Now, you've got a way that you want, that's fine. But when you put yourself in God's hands, you give God permission to do whatever He seems is right to do with you, and you trust Him because you understand that God's merciful and God's good to you whether or not you've been good back to Him or not, okay? And when you get resolve, you let go. You say, God, do whatever with me. I'm yours, okay? I'm the clay, you're the potter, so you make me into whatever vessel you want me to be. It's that simple. And when you do that, man, you'll fly like eagles. I ain't kidding you. You will. You can have cancer. You can have stage 4 cancer. Fly like an eagle. Okay? Not saying you do. I'm Clay Soul. Don't think my words mean anything. But y'all pray for me. I'm having a rough couple of days. It's the combination, I guess. The weather outside, it's raining again, and I'm just beat down. I spent the last 2 days in bed, and you basically just sleep your way through the day just to get through it. And yesterday was more like a full-body neuropathy. It's hurt everywhere, and it goes back to the nerve damage from being electrocuted. So I don't really recommend it. And y'all just pray for me that this weather will it'll do what it's supposed to and then move on, okay? And I'll get back on my feet as soon as I can. You're the reason why I'm here tonight. You are. So appreciate you being here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Laura, we are going to pray for you right now and just ask God to bless you, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Jesus. We thank You, God, for Your mercy to us. And Father, I do not get what I deserve. And Lord, that You've made clear to me. Lord, as bad as I've been, as bad as I hurt, Father, I have not gotten anywhere near what I deserve. And I thank You for that. So, Father, I pray, dear God, that You would just bless the suffering of Your people. Lord God, that You would just show us Your will and Your way. Show us, Father, that this is what is in store for this life. Help us, dear God, to yearn for the life that comes. Father, we pray for Laura. Pray, dear God, that You would give her resolve in her heart, knowing, God, that if You made promises to her, You're going to keep them. And, Father, that even in the face, Lord, of her doubt or her challenges, Father God, You'll still be a good God to her. And Lord, we just pray, dear God, that You would continue to make this cancer go away. Father, we ask God for Your help tonight as we study Your word. Give us husbands, Lord, grace. And Lord, help us, dear God, to be ministers in our homes, Father, of the way Jesus is to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he spends the first six verses dealing with the wife. And, I told the ladies that what I would not do was, you know, just try to use this, beat up on women. And, you know, you're all no good. You know, a bunch of no good wives, and you're the problem, the reason why there's a problem in your house. Anybody that knows me knows that when I counsel marriage people, I listen to a lot of stuff. And what I can tell you is that 9 times out of 10, I will almost always go to the husband and sit him down and say, we're going to deal with you. We're going to deal with you because you're the anchor, you're the band, and if the anchor's wrong, the band's not right, if the rock is not steady, then that whole ship is going to be a mess. So if we can get our men right, okay, and those of you watching online, if we can get our men right and our men stable and our men righteous before God, a lot of these issues are going to clear up themselves. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you, the Bible says. And God is always in the first things, and in the family, in the home, the marriage, it is the husband first. Okay? It is the husband first. So, in 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, guys, I want you to pay to attention every word here. All right. So, number one, and we're gonna compare scriptures. We're gonna go from one place to the next in dealing with this issue of being a biblical role model in the house. What the responsibility is of the husband in the family. And where it goes wrong, because in a lot of cases, the husband will take the verses that are applied to the wife, and I've seen them do it. In the home, they'll say, see here, woman, this is what you're supposed to be doing, okay? I'm the husband. I'm the head of the household. And they'll run against and contrary to Scripture in trying to blast their wives about what they're doing wrong, all right? Where does judgment begin? House of God. God always, He's always going to take care of first things first. And if He establishes one particular person in the house as the leading authority, there is in fact a greater responsibility on that one person than there is anybody else in the household. And you can decry all you want to about how your wife's not doing right and how your children are not doing right. But if you're not doing right in the house, God's going to nail you first. He'll give them a pass while He goes after you because you're not right. And to take the position that you're the big boss, you're the big head, you're the big cheese, woman, keep your mouth shut, I don't want to hear it, I'm the man, I make all the decisions, I rule the roost. If that's your attitude, you're going to be very upset with me because I'm going to set you straight. You're not right. You're not right with God. And you're not right with your family, and your wife and children know it. Okay? And that sermon I preached Sunday, they're going to laugh at you for the rest of their lives while they wander around in the world outside of church because you ruined it for them. Okay? And I've seen it happen in pastors' homes. I've seen it happen in just church families' homes. The man took on a responsibility that was not his, although he assumed that it was. And I'm not teaching you things that I have not myself, God's had to get me over these things. He's had to chase me over them, correct me when I was wrong. I've had a bad attitude at times toward my marriage. At one time, I wanted to take the role of the dominant, you know, male. I do everything. It's all about me. Everything's about me. And God showed me the error of that. And God would not allow me to pastor this church until I started getting some things in my marriage right. He would not allow me to pastor, period, until I started getting things at home right, because the bishop must rule his household well, the Bible says. And that doesn't mean that he uses a whip and a crack and beats everybody on the back in his home and says, I rule over them. The Bible says he rules them well. It means he does a good job of it. And I was severely, severely lacking in that area, and God had to chase me over it. So he says here in 1 Peter 3, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. What do you get out of that? What does that mean? Huh? Okay, knowledge of the Bible, that's good. That could be first thing there. Knowledge of what? Learn that woman. Learn that woman. Okay? If you're gonna love her and you're gonna stay with her for years and years and years, you're gonna have to get to know her. When you get to know her and get to know how she operates and how things go and what she wants and things like that, what makes her happy. You'd be surprised that the smallest things in the world can make them happy. When you get to know that, then you see you're going to love her no matter what you know about her. You're going to love her no matter what you know about her. No matter what kind of quirky traits she has. Why does the toilet paper have to unfold one way? Why? It all comes off the spool. But why? And they may not answer it. Just go with it. Just go with it. Come on, pick your fights well. Amen. Don't be stupid, all right? Anyway, dwell with them according to knowledge. And he adds to that, giving honor unto the wife. She is the prize. She's your prize. Your heart fell on her one day. Your eyes went up and down, and they flipped around in the back of your head for a while. Okay? And you said, I got to have her. Okay? And finally, God felt enough sorry for you to give her to you. Amen. Now you won her as a prize. All right? Look at that weaker vessel part. Fine china. Thin as paper, but beautiful. And you take that and you don't let anybody else touch it. Amen. You put that in a nice place in your house so you can show everybody this is what we have. Okay? And that's what you do. You honor that wife. You prize her as the weaker vessel. And I saw this, man, I saw this for years. If you came here to look for me, I was not in my office. I was sitting next to my wife in our school's learning center. And I got the idea from another pastor that ran a school just like ours down in Arkansas. And I said, how long have you been in this learning center? He said, ever since we started it. I said, why? You're the pastor. You're supposed to be out. And he said, you wouldn't believe the number of arguments, the number of fights, the number of breakdowns, throwdowns that I have stopped just being here in this room. And he said, it just sets a whole different tone in this room of authority. And he said, the teachers are a lot calmer. And God dealt with me about that. Mike, you think you're way too busy and you're way too good. And about every other day, here comes Lisa in my office, slamming my door. And she's blown off steam at me over what kid's doing what in that room. And what I wanted to say was, well, I'd put a stop to that. And then God reminded me, she's not the vessel to do that. She didn't have the ability to do it. I did not give, Mike, when you married her, I did not give her certain things on purpose. Okay? But I gave them to you in spades. You got plenty to go around. So, big boy, why don't you go on there and put your money where your mouth is? And a lot of the things that I'm using now in the ministry, a lot of the teaching things I learned while I was in that learning center. Now, she'd get kind of upset if I put headphones on to listen to music while I studied. It'd make her a little upset every now and then, but I'd tell her, honey, I got to study, but just me and being in here, you know. And so I moved into that room, and immediately all the fights went out the door. And if there was an unruly student in there, I was on them. I was not saying, honey, go get them. I was on them, and I dealt with them. And it just, boom, it made a big difference in there because I learned that there were things that my wife could and could not handle on her own. Okay? And I had to take over for that. So when you give honor to them as the weaker vessel, when you learn to dwell with them, when you learn what tweaks them and what doesn't, okay? I ought to pull out that picture of the box. There's a picture on the internet. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, but it's a box. And it's got, on one side, it's got the man, and it's got a switch that says on and off. And on the other side, it says the woman, and it's got dials and knobs and sliders and temperature gauges and everything, okay? And I've learned as wisdom in that, because those settings change every day. Sometimes humidity, sometimes they change every day. So don't bother writing the settings down, because they'll be mixing them up the next day. But that's part of learning your wife, learning her, dwelling her with her according to knowledge, okay? And listen, any woman who will laugh at that, you get that. You get it's honest, it's a good, honest joke. You get it because you're going, yep, our ways are movable, that they, thou canst not know them. Yeah. Ask Joe and Rose, who moves furniture in the house, Joe? It ain't Joe. It ain't Joe. That's Rose, man. Yeah, so anyway, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as in the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He included your prayers. And guys, you listen to me. You've got enough to pray for, don't you? You've been out in the world all week, haven't you? Been out rubbing shoulders with lost guys all week and listening to lost guys talk. Listen to them tell their jokes. Listen to them talk about how much they drank over the weekend. Listen to them talk about that girl that they were after that their wife didn't know about. You're listening to that all week long. And you've got enough to pray about. You've got enough to keep, it is enough just to keep yourself right with God. And then on top of it now, because you hadn't been treating your wife right, now your prayers are hindered. And you're wondering why God's not answering prayers. And you might suggest that maybe your wife is the cause of all the problems in your marriage and in your life, and why God's not answering your prayers. That's not it. He tells you right here what the problem is. Your prayers are hindered because you're not treating your wife right. Now, in all this, consider Christ and the church. Consider Christ and the church. Because we're gonna read 1 Samuel 25. I want to show you the prayer of the church to the Savior and the Savior's response to 1 Samuel 25. It'll blow your mind. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, and I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So, I mean, he's talking about as the husband relates to the wife, so does Christ relate to the church. Does Christ know his church? He knows what our weaknesses and our strengths. And he's never there to chastise our weaknesses. He's always there to be a comfort for us when we're weak, to be strong wherein we are weak. Christ honors his bride, his wife. He considers her, even though she's weak, she's made lower than the angels. There are things about, you know, the supernatural dimension that we don't get. We don't see things. We just are just kind of going through this life very dumbly, very blindly, very, you know, we just don't know anything. And yet Christ knows that, but he honors that. He honors that. He's not asking us to be in charge. He's not asking us to do things that we can't do, because he knows we can't do them, okay? I'd be very patient with my wife when it comes to electronic things, computers and tablets and things like that. And now she's part of this team working on this book for Reg. She asked me to help her the other day. And boy, I didn't want to, because, you know, I knew it was going to cause a little friction, because I understand it, because I've been doing it, Sterling, since I was 16 years old. And I know methods, and I know shortcuts, and I know this and that and the other. And I have to try to convince my wife that if you'll just let me do it, I'll take care of it, I'll be good to you. But then it bothers her that she doesn't know what I'm doing, because she wants to learn a little bit. And so do I try to show her? Well, that never, you know, I won't say it never works out, but sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm having to be real patient, you know, with her. When it comes to electronics, when it comes to programming this or doing this, there are things I know my wife can't do. And my usual response used to be, well, how come? How come you can't do it? Because I was thinking she older than me, she's got to be somewhat smarter than me on everything in the world, and that's not true. And so I just learned to love her, even when she couldn't do something. That's when you love her. Christ loves us, and we can't do much of anything at all. That's love. Amen. Colossians 3:19, husband, love your wives. And here it is, be not bitter against them. Now, I'm going to deal with this for a while. Ladies, just close your ears. Get out your sewing materials and nail files and just busy yourself for a while, okay? I want you to completely ignore Pastor Mike for about 20 minutes, okay? Husbands, get bitter at their wives. Write that down. I didn't say amen. I didn't say amen. I didn't say agree with me. Okay? Because I can't put you up for the night. All right? I'm not taking you home and going to fix it for you. But we get bitter. We get mad. And we get upset. This Bible is right. When he tells you not to be bitter, Adam, and the first time something comes up and now you're ticked off, okay, you're going, I can't be bitter, can't be bitter. Yeah, try and control that one, okay? It's like controlling hunger. Just some things are just, one of the things I found that I cannot control are my emotions. And there are times when I can control how I respond to that emotion, but as far as controlling emotions themselves, never found that one out yet. So I get emotions. I get bitterness. I get anger. I get frustration. And what I want to do is I want to explode. I want to talk down. I want to talk mean. And I've decided that it's not right to make my wife bear my bitterness toward her. Okay? It ain't right. She is, you know, in her 50s. And she'll then take that bitterness that she knows that I have in a way that would not be good for her. So, usually if I'm bitter, or if I'm mad, or if I'm upset, I mean, I think she reads me well enough to know she knows something going on. But we had a talk one time, and I told her what I would do. I told her I'd always listen to her, and if she saw me while she was talking to me biting my lip or my tongue, because usually I will, physically I'll be going. That if she saw me doing that, don't ask me. What is it you wanted to say? Don't go there. Don't do it. Well, you had it in your mind, obviously. No, don't make me. And we had a talk, and I said, if I don't say anything, don't push it. You've said what you wanted. She's probably going to repeat it two or three times. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to bite my tongue and I'm going to listen to it. But I told her, I said, I'm always going to listen to you. Because, guys, I want to tell you something. You've got it wrong if you think your wife is wrong on every issue. She's not. God gave you a wife with a brain that works completely different than yours to be able to see things through completely different than how you see it, you idiot. Listen to her. God gave her a gift of intuition, which feels things that might go wrong before you ever actually physically see the trap that you're getting everybody into. And God will use that in her and awaken her and say, I don't feel right about this. And my wife has done that a dozen times. And there's times I didn't listen to her. I did not listen to her, and sure enough, I ended up getting it. And I'm going, I'm not ever going to tell her that, but I sure wished I would have listened to her. God gave her a complete, he wired her brain totally different than yours. It's just like, I told you this when I was teaching about the brain. This side of your brain is all feelings, emotion, intuition, art, music, poetry, everything. This side of the brain is the logic part, and it takes both. But this is the dominant. This decision has to be made here, but this helps the decision. This draws you the picture of where the trap is. And that's what your wife is there for sometimes. Some new family will move in next door, and you come into church or whatever, and your wife's going, you stay away from her. Honey, they're brand new. Honey, I'm telling you, you stay away from her. I got it, she's trouble. Your wife will pick that out way before you will. Okay? I'm not making this stuff up. That's how it works. That's how God designed it. And listen, if you don't think that Christ listens to the church, quit praying. Quit praying. In fact, Deuteronomy, or 1 Samuel 25. I'm going to make you turn there because, man, I tried to get that all on the screen. 1 Samuel 25. I want to tell you something. The wife saved her husband's life. And in doing so, she saved. You know what Abigail did here? She asked for salvation. I mean, almost word for word, you see it in here. This is when Nabal has heard now that David wants to be fed, and Nabal has told him back and said, he said, who is David? I ain't serving you. And so David, he was hot. He was hot as a firecracker. David was going to go kill everybody in that house. So in verse 18, then Abigail made haste, 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 meals of measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. She said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met. David was on his way to kill everybody in that house. She met him at the right time. Listen, your soul had to get out from underneath your flesh and say, God, help me. God, save me. God, save me. Your flesh didn't want to get up and go to Sunday school. Your flesh didn't want to give up drinking and smoking and cussing and everything. Your flesh don't want to do that. Okay? Your flesh is Archie Bunker. Doesn't want to give that stuff up. Amen? Now watch this. Verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness. Isn't that right about God? God has taken all these lost people that live out here that are going to die and go to hell. God's fed them. God's protected them. God has given them money to pay their bills. God's given them a house to live in. God's given them wealth untold. And they just spit in God's face, and that's how they're going to die. Right? So here's David. Same way. Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God and unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain unto him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. He's talking about all males. In verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. That's how you meet Jesus. Amen. That's why we still have altars down here, mourner's benches. You're going to have to get out on the ground. You want to meet our Jesus. Amen. And so look at what she says. Verse 24. Fell down at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience. Now hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. And you see how she's calling David what? Lord. How does that go? Romans 10, 9 and 10. that would believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the heart God raised him from the dead. Jesus is going to be Lord. If you're going to be the wife, he's got to be the Lord. That's all there is to it. He's got to be the Lord. And if Jesus is not Lord in a person's life, that tells me something. Tells me they have no respect. Just like a woman who have no respect for her husband, that person has no respect for the Lord. So look at verse 28. Here she's asking forgiveness of sins. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She's repenting of her sins. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, talking about Saul, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Sound like David and Goliath talk, doesn't it? And it shall come to pass, and the Lord have done to my Lord according to all that all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. When the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And she's saying to David, you're fixing to be king, and I see it. And when you're king, this story is going to come up. Because you either went in and slaughtered mercilessly an innocent man simply because he wouldn't feed your soldiers. David, you want that on your conscience? No. My wife, believe it or not, sometimes is my conscience. She'll say to me, stop and think about what you're doing. Stop and think about what you're saying. How do you want this to turn out? And I always go, fine. Ruff. Now I can't do it. Now it's not going to be fun. But she's right. Abigail's, listen to me. The church watching out for the reputation of the Lord, that's a good thing to do, is it not? Watch out for the reputation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't drag him through the mud. Don't drag him through our iniquities. And look at verse 32. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou had hastest to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. You write this down. When the church prays, our Savior listens. Here's a big question. Can the heart of the Savior be turned by the tears of the church? I say yes. I say the heart of the Savior can be turned by the tears of the church. We have a husband that listens to us. God told me that years ago. That's why I made the deal with Lisa. We talked about it. She knows me. She knows I'm listening. And I told her that if I don't say anything, just leave me alone, because I'm going to tell God what she said. And if God's in it, then he'll bless it and I'll be fine with it. He's not. He'll make it to where I don't have to do something that my wife is telling me to do just because she demands I do it and gets me in trouble. My wife cares about this church probably about as much or more on some days as I do. And it really is her will and her reasoning why I ended up here to begin with, or back here. And time
right before doing the Watchman broadcast, I was looking to just bow out quietly. And I made mention that to her. I said, I think maybe God's done with me at Bethel. And she said, God is not done with you at Bethel. Okay. That was it. Because I figured if she was thinking the same thing, she would have let me know. She didn't. I'm glad that God hardened her heart. And what I'm saying is, ladies, if you'll do it right, you can have the biggest impact in a man's life. And a man will be proud to call you his wife. He'll be proud that you're his. And guys, on her best day and on her worst day, all she wants in the world is someone to listen. All she, you have to remember, because of her sin in Eden, God planted something in her DNA that says her desire shall be to her husband. She is shorter than me, cannot physically bear the physical load that I can. She cannot bear the emotional load that I can bear. So it is my responsibility to bear the load. And all God put in her was to have a desire for a husband that she could look up to. And God started dealing with me about this a long time ago, and still does. A husband that she could look up to, that she could admire, that she could desire. You give her that, she won't be online looking for somebody else's husband. And that happens. That happens a lot. God forbid that it ever happened here. Guys, when you're bitter, and you're going to be, do what you can to walk away and go pray. And I've done this. God, you told me not to be bitter against my wife, and here I am. And God, you take away the bitterness and replace it. And then God, I know my wife, but right now she's not in one of her best moods. So God, you deal with her too. That way, because I can't. And God, you fix it, and you do it for your name's sake, because what I preached about marriage here a while back, what's more important to me than anything is marriage itself, the idea of marriage, and holding to a marital bond, no matter what. That's more important to me than anything. And, you know, God is, I guess, in a way, put me in a position that if my marriage is not right, none of my ministry is going to be right. None of it is. And I used to get real upset about that, and I don't anymore, because God knew, he knows me, he did it for a reason. Okay? And so, when you're bitter, go get somewhere, go get in prayer closet, go somewhere, go down the woods, go off in the room, wherever, and pray it out. Get it out, okay? And just watch for how the devil is going to try to get between you two, okay? And don't let him have it. And I'll throw this in too. My wife, one night, she said something, and buddy, it rung my bell. And I spent about 3 days just in a tizzy over it. And when I brought it up, or she brought it up, I reminded her what she said, and she said, excuse me, I never said that. I went, do what? She said, I never said anything like that to you. Never said a word. And I believed her. And I will tell you, the devil will throw in confusion. He's prince of the power of the air, and somehow between when it leaves her mouth and it gets into your eardrums, He's rewrote the whole thing, and you're going, "What? Well, I can't believe she said that." Because I mean, it put me in a mood to where I'm out of here. I ain't gonna put up with this. If she's like this, I can't stand her anyway. I'm just gonna leave. And it just broke every bit of that out. And for 3 days, I mulled on that until I'm not kidding you. She didn't say it. To this day, she swears. I don't even remember what it was. Okay, but I'm just telling you. You watch when you know where God's heart is, because the devil's going to strike against it every single time. And his heart is in marriage. But our roles have to be right. Our roles have to be right before God. You take this and think about it in the Bible. No matter in any of the stories in the Bible, wherever you have a king, the king is almost never the one who makes all the decisions. He almost always has counselors. Pharaoh, when he had his dreams and he didn't know what they mean, who did he call? He called Joseph. Joseph counseled him in those dreams. Joseph ended up ruling the kingdom. Pharaoh's king, but who's Pharaoh going to get his advice from? Joseph. The counselor. Ahasuerus. First, Haman counseled him. Haman says, "Boy, don't you hate them Jews? Them Jews are, don't you hate the Bible too? Let's just get rid of that." And that's, Ahasuerus is the manhood. And who is it that changed his mind? Esther. And you just take that through the Bible over and over and over. Abraham. Sarah called him Lord, but Sarah made the mistake of saying, "Hey, Lord, maybe God wants you to take my servant girl. Maybe that's how it's going to go." That was the wrong idea. Okay, Abraham did it. And God never really got him for it, but he ended up losing her. He ended up losing his firstborn, Ishmael, over it. So you just ponder that, okay? Yes, they can tell us wrong. And that's where you're going to have to take it to the Lord and say, "God, you told me to honor my wife and I'll do what she says, but I don't feel this is right. And God, I can't be the one to tell her. So God, you're going to have to make it right. You're going to have to make sure that if I do this, that it's right. And if not, don't allow me to do it and change her mind." I mean, how many things can we do during prayer? Which is better, to pray through something and let God have it, or you try it yourself? Have you tried? You sound like you tried it yourself a few times, right? How'd that work out? Shoes flying through the air. Okay. This Bible's right, isn't it? I believe that the heart of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ is touched by the prayers of the church. Pray away, church. Pray away. Ask God what thou wilt. Herein is my Father pleased, if you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I used to be afraid of those verses. I used to be afraid to teach them. God, that sounds charismatic. No, that's the Bible. You go study the Bible, what it says about prayer, about how you can ask for things from God, and God will give it to you. God will give it to you. God will give you better than what you asked for. And you don't deserve either one of them. Okay? So, appreciate y'all praying for me tonight.